supplying Ukraine with long-range Tomahawk missiles? Is that something that you're not considering that?
No, not really.
Could
happen. I could change, but at this moment, I'm not.
This is my video update on this Monday afternoon, November the 3rd. Coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And we are going to start things off with Trump's statements on Air Force One. And then Trump's interview with 60 Minutes, which I believe is his return to 60 Minutes after a five-year absence from doing the show. So let's start things off with Trump on Air Force One. And he got a question about Nigeria, where a reporter asked him, "Do you envisage boots on the ground or airstrikes in Nigeria?" And Trump's response was, "Could be. They are killing a lot of Christians." That is what Trump said, or a summary of what Trump said. Could be. Could be. Boots on the ground or airstrikes. By the way, the government of Nigeria, they issued a statement saying that they would work with the United States to take on terrorist groups, for example, Boko Haram, but they would not welcome any type of U.S. unilateral operations in Nigeria. Keep in mind that Nigeria is a BRICS partner as well. Not a full member, but they're part of the BRICS partner group, along with countries like Belarus. If I remember the list of countries, I believe 9 countries are BRICS partners, and Nigeria is one of them on their way to becoming a full BRICS member in the future. So that is what Trump said on Nigeria. He was then asked about Project Ukraine, and Putin and a reporter asked him, "What would be the final straw for you that would prove that Putin is not ready to end this war?" And Trump's reply was, "No final straw. Sometimes you have to let it fight out. It's been a tough war for Putin. He's lost a lot of soldiers. Maybe a million, that's a lot of soldiers." And then Trump went on to say it's been a tough war for Ukraine as well. And then he went on to say how he has settled 8 wars, including the conflict between Albania and Cambodia. He solved the conflict between Cambodia and Azerbaijan. He also solved the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. So that is Trump's reply to the question from the reporter, a very loaded question, right, from the reporter. What would be the final straw for you that would prove that Putin is not ready to end this war, even though Putin is on record a gazillion freaking times saying that he would gladly negotiate an end to the conflict diplomatically? That takes Russia's core interests into consideration, the root causes of the conflict. That is what Putin has said a gazillion and one freaking times. But it looks like this Air Force One reporter hasn't heard or read those statements from the Russian president. They never do. They never listen to what Putin has to say. They never listen to what Russia has to say. They don't care what Putin has to say, and they don't care what Russia has to say. So anyway, that is, let's cross here. That is what he said about the final straw, the final straw for Trump. There is no final straw, he said. Then he was asked about Tomahawks. Of course, he was asked about Tomahawks, and a reporter asked him, "Will you provide Ukraine with long-range Tomahawk missiles?" And Trump's reply was, "No, not really. It could happen that I could change, but at this moment, I'm not. Whole lot of flip-flopping going on. No, I'm not going to send tomahawks, but I could change my mind, and who knows? Right now, I'm not going to send tomahawks, but maybe I'll change my mind, and I'll send tomahawks, or maybe I won't send tomahawks, I don't know. I like Putin. I'm disappointed in Putin. I like Putin. I'm disappointed in Putin. Anyway, that was his reply to that one. He was also asked about the EU frozen assets and the seizing of the frozen assets from the European Union. And Trump said that he has nothing to do with that. He said, it's not my problem. It's not my issue. I have nothing to do with the seizing of the Russian frozen assets, or the possible seizing of the Russian frozen assets. So that was Air Force One getting questions from reporters. And then we had the big 60 Minutes interview with the President of the United States and some 60 Minutes reporter. I forgot her name. They're all the same. They're all the same, the 60 Minutes reporters. Anyway, the 60 Minutes interview with Donald J. Trump. Thank you for your attention to the matter. So 60 Minutes asked Trump about Venezuela. And the reporter asked, are Maduro's days numbered? Are Maduro's days numbered? The reporter asked. And Trump said, I would say, yeah. That's what he said. I would say, yeah, I think so.
Are Maduro's days as president numbered?
I would say, yeah, I think so, yeah.
I would say, yeah, I think so. You look at Trump's facial expression as he says, yeah, I think so. Very telling, in my opinion. Very telling, his body language, his expressions, the expression on his face. And then the reporter asked the follow-up question. Very excited, of course. They're very excited about a conflict in Venezuela. The reporter then asked, land strikes? On Venezuela, land strikes? And Trump said, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that. Come on, strategic ambiguity. I can't tell you if we're going to launch land strikes or decapitation strikes. Can't tell you. That wouldn't be smart if I gave the game away, would it? So that was Trump's reply to the reporter, who then followed up on the follow-up question, and then asked, are we going to war with Venezuela? And Trump's reply was, I doubt it. But he said they have been treating us badly. It's Venezuela that has been treating the United States very badly. He doubts that there's going to be war, but you know, they've been treating us very badly, according to Trump. And then 60 Minutes asked about Project Ukraine. They asked about Project Ukraine and solving the conflict in Ukraine, for which Trump said that the conflict could be solved in a couple of months. And the reporter asked, that quickly? A couple of months? Trump's like, yeah, a couple of months. We could have Project Ukraine figured out, all solved in a couple of months. Reporter was a bit taken aback. That quickly, she said. And Trump said, I think, yeah. He said, Putin wants to do business with the United States. He said that Putin wants to trade with us. And he wants to make a lot of money with us. And I'm cool with that. That was Trump's response to the conflict in Ukraine ending in a couple of months. He's trying to lure Putin back into the negotiation cycle, where he then walks back whatever concessions he appears to be making, and then he escalates, and he's trying to lure Putin back into this rinse repeat type of cycle that he has going on, right? So now he's telling Putin, yeah, we can solve this in a couple of months. Come on, Vladimir. We can solve the conflict in a couple of months. Absolutely. You want to do business. I want to do business. Let's do business. Let's do business. And he's hoping that Putin will say, okay, Trump is a rational, pragmatic president. Let's do business. Let's talk. And then they're going to have a meeting somewhere, or they're going to talk on the phone 5 or 6 times. And then Trump's going to float a couple of deals Putin's way, a couple of offers, and Putin will say, okay, we can work with that. And then Trump's going to say, nah, nah, I'm going to send tomahawks, right?
And I think that's great. That's
can
what I like.
Can we get it done in a couple of months, do you think?
I think we're going to get it done, yeah. I think he really wants to do business with the U.S.
But anyway, Trump is trying to get Putin back in this negotiation, walk-back escalation cycle. So that's what he said with regards to ending the conflict in Ukraine. And the reporter then asked, who's tougher to deal with, Putin or Xi? And Trump said, both are tough, both are smart. They are both strong leaders. These are leaders not to be toyed with. They are serious people you have to take very seriously. I like them. I like them a lot. They're tough. I like them. I like them tough. Yeah, so he said that about Putin and Xi. And then tomorrow he's going to say that he's disappointed in Putin and Xi. I'm very disappointed in Putin and Xi. And then the day after tomorrow he's going to say that they're really tough leaders, right? Really tough. And I ended 8 wars. So some other things that he said in the 60 Minutes interview. He was asked about the U.S. Army or the U.S. Marines being sent to cities in the United States. And Trump said that he would do it. If you had to send in the Army or if you had to send in the Marines into U.S. cities, I'd do that in a heartbeat, Trump said. So that comment is drawing quite a lot of controversy, a lot of attention on that comment. He also said that he will get personally involved in Prime Minister Netanyahu's corruption trials to help him out, he said. To help him out, he's going to get personally involved in those trials, whatever that means. So that's the interview with Trump. By the time I publish this video, I imagine that everything that Trump said on Air Force One in 60 Minutes will be the exact reverse or the exact opposite. So anyway, that is the update there. And on the issue of U.S. Nuclear testing, the Energy Secretary, I believe that's his title. Yeah, the Energy Secretary. He is saying that there will be no nuclear testing with regards to actual nuclear explosions. He said we're not going to have nuclear explosions. What we are going to do are system tests. That's what the Energy Secretary said. So that's the update on that bit of news. By the way, Trump also said during the interviews that other countries are testing nuclear weapons, so we're going to test nuclear weapons. Now you have the Energy Secretary saying we're not really going to explode nuclear weapons. That's not going to happen. We're just going to do system tests. Like what Russia did with the Poseidon, right? A systems test is what they're saying they're going to do, or something similar to that. Let's shift gears and let's talk about the Green Goblin. And he put out a TikTok video. I believe this was a man on the street type of TikTok video that the Green Goblin likes to do every once in a while. The Dark Knight, the Blackadder, President Volodymyr Zelensky. Man on the streets, walk and talk video. And what did he say? He said that Ukraine has received Patriot air defense systems from Germany, from BlackRock Mertz. That is what he revealed. And they're not active yet, but they're being set up and deployed, and pretty soon they will be active in Kiev. And what else? And we got reports that Ukraine We'll also be receiving Storm Shadow missiles from the UK. We got those reports as well. So the UK has sent a whole bunch of Storm Shadow missiles to strike deep into Russia. I don't think we have a number. I don't think a number would be revealed. Keir Starmer would not reveal a number. Keir Starmer works in the shadows. Strategic ambiguity from 008, Keir Starmer. But we are getting the reports from the UK that Storm Shadows have been sent to the Green Goblin so that he can use those Storm Shadows to strike deep into Russia. And we are getting reports, rumors, let's just say rumors, that Sirsky, he is looking to find as many troops as he possibly can, even pulling soldiers away from other areas on the front lines. And he wants to find as many soldiers as he can so he can send them to Pokrovsk in a desperate bid to try and hold the city or delay the fall or the capture of Pokrovsk. Of course, if this is true and Sirsky does decide to take troops from other areas on the front line and redeploy them to Pokrovsk, then what Russia is going to do, and this is just a wild guess, but I'm no military strategist, but what Russia is going to do is they're just going to ramp up the pressure on the areas where those troops have been removed and sent to Pokrovsk, and then they're going to have problems in other areas of the front lines. But that's just a guess. That is just a guess. Anyway, that is a rumor, but it would not surprise me if that turns out to be true. And before we get to a clown world, I think today will be kind of a short video on this Monday. Before we get to a clown world, I want to just do a quick update on Mali and the situation in Mali and the correction on the situation in Mali. Yesterday, I talked about what's going on in Mali according to just about every mainstream media outlet, as well as a lot of alternative sources, where they claim that an Al-Qaeda ISIS force has cut off the fuel to the capital city, and now they are making their moves into the capital city. They've encircled the capital city, and they're making their moves into the capital city. I got a lot of comments which said that this information is wrong. Some of the comments claimed that they know people in Mali, on the ground in Mali, and they're saying this is false. I have no way of confirming that, of course, but it piqued my curiosity and my interest. So I dug around X and I got some information from other sources which claim that this is mainstream media disinformation about the capital city being encircled and the fuel supply being cut off. I actually saw some video. I can't confirm this video, but I saw a video of a bunch of fuel trucks, making their way into the capital city, allegedly under the protection of Russian military or Russian contractors. And they are making their way, or a couple of days ago, they made their way to the capital city, and there's no blocking of the fuel. They tried to block the fuel, but they were unable to block the fuel. And the military in Mali has also been fighting off these Al-Qaeda ISIS guys successfully. And that's the update in Mali and the rest of Mali. In other cities and towns, the situation is very calm. No problems at all. So let me just read you. A convoy, that's the word that I'm looking for, an envoy, McFly, like Keith Kellogg, the Ukraine envoy, Keith Kellogg, a convoy, right, oh, malaka. Anyway, thousands of fuel tankers have safely reached the capital of Mali under the protection of Russian military instructors. And here is an ex post from Sahel Revolutionary Soldier, analysis of the security situation in Mali. And I'll read you a bit of his post. It's a long post. General context. To understand the current security situation in Mali, it must first be specified that there is no direct and massive military confrontation between the Malian armed forces and terrorist armed groups, including the JNIM and the FLA. Recent events are more of a political and psychological maneuver than a conventional war. Mali, let's recall, is an embedded country whose petroleum products come mainly from the ports of Senegal and Côte d'Ivoire. The commercial roads connecting Bamako to these countries go through vast forest areas. Recognizing their incapability to face the national army directly, terrorist groups have chosen to invest in these forests to attack tanker convoys, disrupting the fuel supply. The aim of the terrorist strategy, this tactic aims to create an artificial fuel crisis in the capital, triggering popular discontent and promoting social unrest. This is a strategy of political scope combined with a communication war orchestrated by some foreign media and chancellories in order to sow panic and weaken national morale. And then the post goes on to talk about the history of the situation in Mali and how this technique has been used, this type of operation has been used in the past to break Mali. And then he goes on to explain how it is the Al-Qaeda ISIS jihadists who are actually being weakened. And there's a lot of infighting between these groups, and the military is weakening these forces over time. So that's an update on Mali. That's the other side of the situation. Another perspective, other information about the situation in Mali. Obviously, I'm not there on the ground, so I can't say which one is correct, my yesterday's report or today's report, but this report from today sounds a whole lot more believable. So anyway, that is the update on Mali, and now we can do some clown worlds and wrap up today's video. So in Estonia, or not in Estonia, let's say on the Narva River, there was a patrol boat, a Russian patrol boat, with the Wagner flag on it. And this freaked out Estonian officials, freaked them out in a big way. Estonian authorities expressed concern and demanded explanations from Russia. What was that? And why did they raise the Wagner PMC flag? Because they wanted to. That's why. Estonia demands explanations from Russia about the patrol boat with the Wagner flag. So that was funny. That was interesting. And there's another clown world, this one with John Brennan, the former... What was John Brennan, the former CIA director under Obama? That was John Brennan. John Brennan and Clapper and Comey, all of these guys. Anyway, John Brennan was at some event. And, yeah, former CIA director. And he was confronted by somebody. I believe this ex-account, Thomas A. Special A. 2. After the conference on Thursday, I confronted former CIA director Brennan directly regarding his signing the 51 intelligence officers memo, knowing that Hunter Biden laptop was real and not Russian disinformation. Watch his response. So someone finally confronted Brennan on the signing of the 51 intelligence agents, intelligence, what are they? Intelligence officers with the Hunter Biden laptop being Russian disinformation. And he was confronted on this. Finally, good on you, man. Good on you for confronting Brennan on this. And check out Brennan's response. I think it says a lot about the type of person that Brennan is. And I will end the video there. Like this video, subscribe to this channel. We are on Rumble, X, and Telegram. And maybe tomorrow I will remember to say like and subscribe to this channel in the beginning of the video, but I highly doubt it. So check out Brennan having a meltdown, and I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.
Why would you on the Hunter Biden? Why say? Because I think, and you misrepresented that. We never said it was disinformation. We said it was Russian influence operations, which is what they do. There's a big difference between influence operations. No, you don't know that.
Yes, Comey
you don't
knew.
Know. Comey knew.
The literature said it had all marks of all the hallmarks of.